All right, everyone. Let me make sure. All right, everyone. It's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grimm's Comics Corner with more Transmetropolitan. Now, this is a little different because we're going to start with the end of one volume and then work into the next one. So let's go ahead and just get started, shall we? And I guess I'll have to clip some of these too, but we'll get it. Introduction by Spider Jerusalem. There's nothing more insinuating than having to write the introduction to one of your own books. I mean, the whole point of these things is that someone else comes in to make nice on you, to hype you up to the audience, to make you sound like you're worth listening to. But no, here we are at the hour before the book shot down the wire to the printer, and I mean we. I've got two editors, three assistants, and a VP publishing standing behind me as I write this, and I'm having to write my own fucking introduction to what is essentially an excerpt from 2.5 years of unremitting pain and horror. What, you wanted something cuddly and welcoming? Well, you should have hired someone else to do it then, shouldn't you? I told you to get an actor, a singer, or someone else with mental problems. Fuck all of you. Every day since I've been back in this endless shithole has been like being repeatedly hit over the head with a club hammer. Every single day. I wake up in the morning and I can feel my brain swelling, bulging up against the thin parts of my skull. If I look in the mirror really closely, I can see where my skin gets sucked in through the tiny cracks in my skull. One day, chunks of my head are going to burst off, and blood and poison will geyser out of my skull into your faces, and you'll all choke on my bile and exploded brain meat. Before I am done here, you will all taste my brain meat. Get off me, you dog fuckers. I'm on a roll. No, don't take my inhaler away, you bastards. I've been back at the city a week, and things are not going well. You see, things have changed. I've only been away 5 years, and there are whole chunks of the ambient culture that I do not recognize. Yesterday, for instance, I bought some chewing gum called Alter. Innocuous enough. Attempt to reduce the cigarette consumption a bit, you see. All the goddamn additives in city cigarettes gave me a sore throat, so I thought I'd cut down a bit while I adjusted. Up in the mountains, there ain't nothing but tobacco, animal shit, and ground glass in our smokes. Of course, you all know the gum brand in question. So you're laughing already. You know what happens next. No fucker told me that the gum induces mild temporary multiple personality disorder and comes preloaded with its own Alter. So I spent 90 minutes stark-ass naked in the middle of the print district with my brain trapped in the death grip of Einar, syphilis-matted Norse tribal lawman from the Skando ghetto north of Lou Bend. Now let's get specific here. I spent 90 minutes naked dispensing ancient wisdom and savage law up and down the print district, the altar only wearing off after I brutally beat a deeply unstable 10-year-old boy for pissing in his little sister's pram, while Mommy was off down the alleyway buying a touch of discreet oral sex from an out-of-work voiceover actor called Giles. These unemployed actors had gone bad or the worst. When they're not whoring on street corners or trying to look menacing as they loiter around the drama section of bookstores, they form gangs that relentlessly try to attach themselves to stylish homosexuals and break all the noise laws by bitching about pretty girls and people with talent, the bastards. My MPD faded away just as I was about to apply my hastily improvised method whore brand to Giles' tender bits. A quick reading of the small print of the gum wrapper crushed into my hand revealed that ingestion of the gum absolved me of my responsibility for my actions. So I branded him and the woman, kicked the kid into passing traffic, and had the baby rehorned. You have no idea how much I hate it here. I want to travel back in time and lop the goddamn heads off all your innocent mommies and daddies. Come on. Tell me why you deserve to live. I mean, I know I've been away, and things have changed, all that, but there's absolutely no excuse for the behavior you've all been displaying since I came back. I am talking specifically about the extensive shrine set up outside my apartment building. I am talking about the two people who attempted to have sex in my shadow to guarantee conception. I am talking about the conclave who scrabbled through the bag of garbage I couldn't get my maker to use. I am talking about the people who stole my bathwater and drank it. This is America. I want money for these things. I mean, I have some especially holy underpants here, shattered and ruined by unusual stresses, and I can't let them go to a good cause for anything less than 100. You're probably wondering why there's never any good news. I mean, I've been doing this job for a few months now. I've been soaking up the paper every week, same as you, watching the same news feeds as you. I got the same list burned into the front of my head as you. Death, horror, bad sex, living nightmares. Each day a little further down the spiral. There's never any good news because they know you. I mean, here's the top of today's column that I discarded. I had a really good time last night down the bar with my assistant and some cheerfully doomed sex fiends of our acquaintance. No one ever sold newspapers by telling you the truth. Life just ain't that bad. I was amazed even to be invited. They credit me with stopping the engineered riot that saw over 100 of them dead at police hands. There'll never be any convictions for those murders. Transients generally have little money and aren't considered courtroom sexy enough to be for pro bono work. There'll be a couple of show resignations, but there won't be any justice. As much as anything, today is for the transient community to get used to carrying the weight of a consistent mourning. Today the city's youngest culture buries its dead and stupidly stops to thank me because I only let 100 of them die. You and I need to sit down and have a little chat about drugs. Yes, you're complaining about my column again, you see. You're complaining that I'm discussing my horrific drug abuse, my own, and describing it in less than responsible ways. Responsible, it seems, means I must condemn my own actions. My columns are attacked for discussing drugs in a celebratory, greedy, and horrid, ungodly, dope-sucking way. Listen, more than 100,000 children born in the city last year squatted out of mommy's saggy womb equipped with five self-replenishing, mood-altering drug reservoirs that can be used at will. The "I think I'm stoned, therefore I'm stone" trait, they call it on SPKF. Your kids are not drooling because they're kids. They're drooling because, put bluntly, they're all fucked up on drugs. And thank God for that. I want to eat a swan. Is that wrong of me? I can't find anyone who'll sell me a swan burger. I sent my assistant down to the African for a monkey burger. I really fancied some Korean dog, but the local Korean got bought out by the Shark Bar people who are trying to head off the expansion of those tiny club snack seal eye kiosks. Mine, Club Snack, are having their own problems. They're being sued for breach of fiduciary contract by the Long Pig chain, where Club Snack once had concession stands. Long Pig could use the compensation money since hard questions are being asked about the location of their stock. The New Zealand census numbers are down for the third year in a row. I learned a long time ago never to annoy an Incan, and I always preferred caribou eyes anyway. There used to be loads of Eskimo fast food stands around here. I wonder what happened to them. I hate it here. I hate the way it smells. Except when you get into a fully residential quarter where people are predominantly first-gen American. The way people express their culture in their cooking is one of the few good reasons for being alive. One thing about Warren Ellis is he was actually a very, very prominent cook. Like, there's actually recipes in the back of Crooked Little Vane. He has a whole bunch of different recipes because he loved to cook. He was a big guy. He loved to cook and loved to eat. I hate the way it looks, except for the weird beauty that hits you in the eye every other second. I hate the way it thinks, except when it buys this newspaper. I hate the things it does to itself, except when it lets me do it to them. Hold on. Well, yeah, that's what it says. I hate the things it does to itself, except when it lets me do them. Okay. I hate the way it loves me, and I hate the way it makes me feel. I hate it here, but God help me, I can't imagine living anywhere else. My God. It was a horror. I love this one. It was a horrific beating. Biblical ferocity. The vengeful God of the Old Testament flowed in my veins, giving me power. Hate and an erection of uncommon savagery. What else could I do? I was left with no choice. My journalist's insurance protected me from prosecution. The emergency services unscrewed my victim from the drain I attempted to finally dispose of him in. I'm told he'll walk again with some time and some new legs and new hips and new eyes and an unfried nervous system. No fucker rewrites me. End. Oh, here we go. Oh, it's not done. You want to know how bad things have gotten? You people spend all your time telling me I'm corrupting your damn children, but your kids don't have the equipment to actually read what I'm writing. The times when you could stop and point at California and say, well, our kids aren't as dumb as theirs is long gone. Those kids aren't dumb anyway, they're just badly educated. I spent some time with some kids today. First, I hacked the sidewalk screen and showed them a basic educational program, the sort that you're supposed to show them at home. Once we established that they thought America was Russia because it looks biggest, I got real primitive with them. You would have hated it. I taught them something. There is a notion abroad that I am a bad man. That I do not like it when people enjoy themselves. Did I not love Christmas or Kwanzaa or whatever it is we're calling it this year? There's a feeling that I was not a happy bunny when the balloon went up at midnight on Christmas Eve and that the civic makers performed the now infamous mistletoe drop on the crowd of revelers in Century Square. Let me be frank. There's an ugly suspicion that I am to blame for the 1,233 cases of involuntary bowel movement recorded at Century Square on Christmas Eve. Please, to achieve such a thing would require the use of a bowel disruptor. This device is known to be illegal. Are you, the gutter press, and my foul correspondence implying that I would commit an illegal act? My lawyers await your answer. It would require a bowel disruptor, an application to the task that would border on the psychotic. I mean, shooting over 1,000 people in the back passage within an hour? Only someone who really fucking hated you would do that. We live in a monoculture. Well, go out to your nearest street, blah, blah, blah. Go out to your street corner. You'll probably see a long pig stand, SPKF, on a screen somewhere, and Angry Boy Dylan's gun store. You'll go into a record store and see new recordings by the usual suspects. Maybe a special space culture display rack. Go out onto a street corner in London, and you'll see the same thing. Same in Prague, same in Sao Paulo, same in Osaka, and Grozny, and Tehran, and Joburg, and Hobart. That's what a monoculture is. It's everywhere, and it's all the same. And it takes up alien cultures and digests them and shits them out in a homogeneous building block shape that fits seamlessly into the vast block wall of the monoculture. This is the future. This is what we built. This is what we wanted. It must have been. Because we all had the fucking choice, didn't we? It is only our money that allows commercial culture to flower. If we didn't want to live like this, we could have changed it at any time by not fucking paying for it. So let's celebrate by all going out and buying the same burger. He's right. He's right. Further to the debate about drug use, mine and your children's, it's all over. You no longer have anything to worry about. You know, when I was a kid, we listened to music that made our parents' eyes bleed and took drugs that make us want to dance and fucking kill things. That is the way things are supposed to be. It was therefore in the spirit of honest investigation that I internalized a heroic dose of space, the new social drug enjoyed by the young folk of today, as part of the youth culture referred to as supermodernity. Supermodernity. Supermodernity, apparently, is the experience of being between places. That is, not being in a real place at all, but waiting in transit between one place and the other. This is why SM space culture music appears to be utterly silent. You have to be on space, slowed down across planes in the zone between ticks of the clock to be able to hear it. That is what they do for fun, apparently. Suck up appalling volumes of a drug that traps you in the airport waiting lounge of the mine and doesn't let you go for approximately 200 years while someone plays an antique handheld electronic keyboard in your car. Mr. and Miss America, do not be afraid. Your children have finally found a drug that makes it impossible to dance, fuck, or kill things. Youth culture has finally sterilized itself. Young America has finally achieved its terminal ambition, fucking itself before anyone else could. Sad, isn't it? When I last lived in this city, I was considered an eligible bachelor. Women would hurl themselves at me without my having to drug them first. But now I am old. Pieces of my body are moving around. I'm no longer pretty. Gravity tugs at my ass, my paunch, and my painfully heavy testicles. I have not had sex in more than 3 years. When I do finally torture, medicate, or hypnotize someone into manipulating my bits, the police will find our remains blasted into the walls by ballistic semen. And I am forced to suffer this in a city where I can fall in love 80 times a day just by stepping out onto the street and opening my eyes. You will all pay. I came back down here from a place where the snow would lay for miles, from first fall to thaw, with no mark on it other than the prints of birds, foxes, and squirrels. There's a reservation under construction, about 10 miles south of Lou Bend. No people in it yet, but the walls are up, creating the illusion of endless distance, and the environment and weather systems are running. I have friends there, who let me in from time to time. Sometimes I can do nothing but stand in constant winter, trying to remember what life is like without all of you. And then the sun goes down and the night comes up. And I remember why I lived here for so long. I was born in the city, out on the docks as a child, and I'd see the glow come up in Central City as the night fell down on us. And I'd sit there for hours, all happily stained by light pollution, wishing I could be there, dreaming of what I'd do. I built 1,000 fantasies of night in the city, sitting there looking at the spotlights and lasers and light snow and listening to ghost mixes of millions of different musics drifting over. I had 1,000 fantasies of what it was like here. I lived them all out in 3 months and spent years coming up with new ones. It's that kind of place. The night brings out those kinds of people. I hate this place, you know, because I can't let it go. But if you quote me, I'll call you a liar. Appearing tonight, Barbarella. If anybody wants me to read the Barbarella comics I've got, let me know. Those are also Dynamite books. And up here, it all looks very different. No one looks up in the city because no one wants to look like a tourist. Only tourists look up. So we all stay on the ground level, eyes fixed on the sidewalk as we robot our ways from robot jobs to robot homes for some robot dinner and a spot of gray hard robot sex before our mandated 7 hours of robot sleep. A change of perspective leads to a change of attitude, and a change of mind. There are plenty of places around, on every street almost, where you can get some altitude, get some perspective. Take a different look at the place. If you look long enough and hard enough, from high up enough, you can see what needs doing. I am famous again. This development does not please me, but I have found it useful. I have recorded a variety of spots discussing the important things in life, voting, truth, horror, loss, being fucked with knives. And now I'm being venerated. I have evidently energized the discourse and made politics real again. Children smile and laugh and rush to me in the street for comfort, singing my name. Old people clasp my hands for luck and to cheat death. And I am beloved by the whores and the old people who offer me all they have in return for my countenance, their cheap infected sex and blood products. I'm back. I have a ragged army hanging on my every word, and I'm pissed off. The thing about a city is that you can't choose who lives in it with you. I mean, those of us around the Chase Square area are eminently sensible professionals. Not many of us are caught fucking domestic animals in the street at 3 a.m., and when we are always found to be using protection. The same is not true out on the western outskirts of the city, where I happened to find myself doing a research trip last week. Oh no! In the district called Gash Cal, things are very different indeed. In Gash Cal, the first thing you notice are the faces. Even in a city like ours, containing the dregs of every gene pool on Earth, you can detect the difference in these people. These are the people of urban myth, the people of the smashed chromosome, the people who play banjos, the people who drink the intellect suppressants in the water supply in preference to the clean water bussed in by the rescue op. Guys in tan leather flares, idly jacking off into the road, keeping a lazy eye on the female newsreader on the sidewalk screen by his left foot. Hundreds of kids with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder running around screaming while their berserk mothers continue to pump out more of the little fuckers for those few months of soft comfort from each before they start moving and never stop. I don't want to turn my fellow human. I really don't. But I see these people believing everything they saw on the TV. Everything. They believe that the Smiler is a good man. They believe in God. They believe in justice. They believe in Knight Rider. These people are the enemy. Upgrade your sexual organs today so that we may leave them behind. Every silver lining has its cloud. Oh, that's funny. The beast is going to go. The president is going to be beaten out of power, thrown down in the streets, and we're going to soak him in paraffin and cheap whiskey, and we're going to burn the fucker, and we're going to make him crawl as he burns, crawl over dirty syringes and fresh horse shit, and we're going to stamp on him because it'll be legal, and we'll grind him under our heels into AIDS-splattered broken glass and steaming excrement from old ponies with terrible bowel problems. And then I think eventually he'd die, wouldn't he? Smile. It's going to be a better day. I have developed a new assistant. This is not, as far as she is concerned, a good thing. She hates me immediately. She is intelligent and comes from a fascinating background. She is fairly quick on the uptake and will be quicker when the student-y curves on her have been abraded into sharp edges. Frankly, she's far more intelligent than I am and has a genetic inheritance that leaves mine standing in the mire. Actually, now I think about it, my dad used to screw mire, and she loathes me. No half measures here. She thinks I didn't notice the death trap she set outside my door or the poison in my coffee. Her name is Elena Rossini, and she may prove to be the best assistant I ever had. I'll tell you how she grows up. If you meet her, tell her none of this. You see, she refuses to read the column. Wink. Led Zepp clones. Huh. Interesting. People keep saying to me, you're doing a good job, Spider. You're really changing things, Spider. It's all bullshit. I'm not changing a fucking thing. I'm a writer, a journalist. I can't change shit. What I do is give you the tools to understand the world so that you can change things. And I'm stuck here, only hoping that you do. I like bars. Bars are honest places. You get to see people as they really are in bars. It's true. Put-ons and false faces never last long. Poses grow transparent too quickly. Lies come out too clumsily, sharp and obvious without clothes on. Especially in my favorite bar, because they dose all the customers with truth serum and interrogate them horribly for days. Wow. They drink blood and milk down on AO Street. They say the blood's nutritious as hell if you can learn to keep it down. That was the week of the integument pogrom. Okay. The integument pogrom. I'm not sure about that. I didn't trust the AO Street people, but I could see they didn't deserve to be skinned by a bunch of Midtown body purists. So I took up arms on AO Street, got my head cracked open and my leg infected by a homemade fasciitis grenade. But it didn't matter. It was right. They tattooed me after on their highest rooftop under a big sky. I had stomped with them, and now I had a home on AO Street whenever I needed it. I was tattooed atop the Storm Church in Ganuga Gap when I got engaged to that wilderness girl. I was tattooed in Britain before Parliament in Stonehenge for my series on the Catholic War. I was tattooed with a false entry badge in order to sneak into an antique primitive terrorist meeting. Every picture is a story, they say. Look at me. Every picture is a story. I'm quitting drugs. There, I said it. Drugs are bad for you. Take these new RPG drugs flooding into the streets right now. Fucking frightening. The high is encapsulated by the fantasy storyline you play the lead in. I mean, I tried some. In a sense of healthy journalistic curiosity. I was obviously set up by my dealer. I found myself within moments of the dose coming on to be a mild, well-mannered reporter for a major metropolitan newspaper. I was wearing glasses and a bad haircut to disguise my natural beauty for some reason. My hair was blue. After being shrieked at by a two-dimensional woman who claimed to be an ace reporter but could not see through my disguise, I found myself compelled to lock myself in a broom cupboard, strip, rummage around in my underwear, force myself into some perv suit, and leap out the fucking window. Me and drugs. Finished. I mean, who do that kind of experience to themselves on a regular basis? I've spoken before about growing up on the docks. It took me a lot of years to work up the escape velocity to launch out of here, and I've never been back. Never wanted to risk tumbling back down that gravity well. Never wanted to risk not being able to claw my way out again. Yesterday, I went back to the docks. The house I grew up in was burned out. You could clearly see a blackened little skeleton slumped in one corner, arranged in the student sculpture of a melted aluminum bed. Blobs of gray plastic sitting on its sooty bones where a disposable blanket once lay. No more cargo ships, no more dock lizards, a few fishing boats. Spoiled catch rotting dockside, no one giving a shit, no one left alive here to tell the tale of how it was here. Except me. Story of my life. I had one assistant who fucked off to a nunnery. I had a second assistant who spent her every waking second hating me. The first assistant came back. The second assistant stayed. So now the first assistant is a bodyguard, and yet strangely, both assistants hate me. I couldn't be happier. I've been on television again. Taping a game show, no less. Now, before you start screaming sellout, waving your pitchforks and torches in the air, hear me out. It's a game show produced by Pharmatopia. You'll have seen them in the news, the people attempting to bring back the dead by cloning them and reconstructing their electromagnetic auras. Well, they're partway there, and are funding the final big push via this game show. Zombie Gladiators, wherein celebrities engage in arena death matches from famous people from the past. So I'm not selling out. I'm helping fund the apotheosis of the human species while beating resurrected power junkie fame whores back into the grave. Don't you wish you were me? That again. Dr. Vita Severn died yesterday. She was shot dead by sniper fire. The sniper committed suicide with a genetic cleansing device that removed all evidence. Dr. Vita Severn was a friend of Spider Jerusalem's, and an observance, there would be no column today. This isn't Spider Jerusalem. I'm Yelena Rossini, and I'm writing Mr. Jerusalem's column in his stead today at his express invitation. Well, more like an order. He called it a proclamation, an actual fact. This was during the afternoon he spent dressed as a pharaoh. Some of you may have seen that. Rather, more of you will have seen him 2 days ago during what we are calling his impromptu tour, which brings me to the subject of this piece. I'd like to clear up a few misconceptions about Mr. Jerusalem's activities during the tour. For instance, at no time did Mr. Jerusalem mug anyone. The five elderly citizens claimed that a naked Mr. Jerusalem swooped down from the roof of their hut to lay about them with a large dry bull penis, pausing only to steal their wallets and real teeth before taking flight. Well, we've had them checked out. They were all senile, dizzied by an extended session of the biscuit game, and confused by ionized swamp-like gas billowing off the nearby Second Canal. Mr. Jerusalem's admittedly bizarre statements to various feed site listeners during the 2 days are not connected to any possible or claimed drug use on his part. He was tired and emotional and suffering unusual brain chemistry due to the trauma of losing his TV remote control. The bit about his standing on top of the big screen at Century Square and feigning sex with half a Doberman Pinscher is, however, entirely true, and we are in negotiation with the police at this time. I've 2 years now. I've been back in the city 2 years. It's been a loud, weird couple of years. White knuckle ride almost from the second I put my feet back onto the streets. Or onto its streets, rather. As I write this, I'm in a bubble of quiet. Suddenly everything's gone quiet. I can hardly even ever hear the cars. There's occasional bars of nervous birdsong in the still air. Calm before the storm, maybe. I hate it here. That's why I keep coming back. Wow, he's got a blow-up doll. They still have old-school blow-up dolls in that era? Wow. Afterword by Mitchell Royce. I've been working for Spider Jerusalem for many years now. It was I who got him into France during the War of Verbals. I was with him in Prague on the terrible night of the telephone. I kept him alive in St. Lucia when the galloping cockrot threatened to clamber up his spinal column. I got his first column, the column that stopped the transient riots, on the major feed sites and public screens. I've known him longer than almost anyone else alive. And I want you to know that I hate him and I wish he were dead. Now. I mean right fucking now, with harpoons in him. Big fucking harpoons. Really fucking big ones. Mitchell Roy, City Editor. The Word. Says 2000 AD. I wonder if that's for the 2000 AD strip. Tonight on Lonely City, next week's drugs. Following the FDA loophole that stops drugs being made illegal until they are actually discovered, our crack team of narcotic-munching investigative reporters tests a spread of fixes invented only hours previous to filming, includes scenes of FDA troops capturing and taking stomach samples from our staff. 8 o'clock. Gotcha. Home videos of horrifically bloody and deeply disturbing domestic accidents. Sex Puppets, delightfully lighthearted educational show. Today, Darlene must decide which puppet will live and which will die. Slide, mildly psychoactive visual wave effects combined with Kodo drum patterns and classified subliminal signals to gently chew holes in your frontal lobe. Geriatricide, killing poverty-stricken old people for fun and profit. This week, arranging a good hard winter to thin the old toads out a bit. SPKF, patching to the print district offices of the city's prime feed site for late night news and event summary. Lost, now that actually exists. Featuring CFC performing pieces from their new disc, Dirty Rain. Select interactive subchannel to have holographic simulations of dead oil-drenched seagulls tossed at you. Criminal Nation, Adventures of City Police Department Detectives. This week, a revived Ernest Hemingway in Sniper Alley. Captain Gacy eats a suspect. It's never too soon to start planning your holiday. Hit the peak at the Ari. Shoot and kill your own food and neighbors. Weekend getaways available now. TV, telephone, makers in every room. Paradise awaits you. Just 1 hour from the city. They've cleared all the non-transients out of Angel's 8. Incredible tension. Like they're all living in the second before the bullet hits the bone. Memoirs from the backside of the world. I hate it here. Spider Jerusalem's column exclusive to The Word every month in Transmetropolitan. Okay. So we're not going to go through this again, because we did. Okay, Ellis and Robertson's effort is an intricate piece of futuristic world-building and at once strange and familiar. Cynical, sardonic, and dangerous, Spider Jerusalem is the original anti-hero. Vacuum black satire. Blisteringly bitter. Village Voice. Okay. Outlaw journalist Spider Jerusalem has covered every flavor of newsworthy depravity in the course of his long and commercially enhanced career. But the legendary street reporter's bread and butter stories of organ traffickers, DNA thieves, and dog fondlers are just an appetizer for the ultimate banquet of human degradation. Politics. Two candidates, the Beast and the Smiler, are facing off in this year's presidential election, and the Spider seems to be the only member of the media with the intestinal fortitude to hack its way through the campaign propaganda and discover the reality behind the spin. But even with all his years of hard-won cynicism, Spider is still in for a shock when he starts to turn over these particular rocks, and there won't be enough mind-numbing drugs in the whole world to mask the corruption that he and his new assistants are about to expose. Acclaimed writer Warren Ellis, this is when he was working on Castlevania and The Wild Storm, which I haven't read yet, and artist Derek Robertson, the boys in Happy. We're not doing Happy. We might do Happy on Christmas. It's only one volume. It's very short. It's the show is actually a little better in some ways. In some ways. Reconstruct the present by deconstructing the future in Transmetropolitan, Book 2, collecting issues 13 to 24 of their disturbingly prescient series, together with a special anthology one-shot, Transmetropolitan, I Hate It Here, and feature an introduction by stage and screen legend Patrick Stewart. You never would have thought it, would you? But The Boys and Happy, of course, we're reading The Boys. Happy is actually, yes, Grant Morrison. Here comes that name again. Definitely worth checking that out. But the show is great. They could have done some amazing things with it if they continued. Suggested for mature readers, Vertigo Comics. Okay, and we're done. So, yeah, it might have not been what you wanted, but reading all those articles, yeah, that kind of tires you. I've written articles like that. I know what it's like. At any rate, guys, this will be it for the Grimlord and Transmetropolitan. And guess what? We'll be back with Volume 3 of Transmetropolitan. Probably the week after next. Because I know you guys can't get enough of Spider Jerusalem, and neither can I.